Over these past 6 weeks, we have looked at the qualities of friendship that we need to offer up. And as we wrap up this series, I want us to look at the friend that we have in Jesus. And as we go into Thanksgiving here and this time, what can we be thankful for about his friendship that we have? Listen to John 15:15. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." That's quite a change. And that's when you think about, you know, if you look at just Jesus as a rabbi, that would just be a pretty big deal. And last week we looked at, you know, how Nathaniel said, "Hey, you're the rabbi. And you're the son of God, and you're the king of Israel." And so when you keep not taking that up, and you think that's amazing that the son of God, God in the flesh, the king of the universe, calls you friend. And in Hebrews, it even says that Jesus is not afraid to call us brothers and sisters, because he loves us that much. So why is Jesus' friendship something so special that we want to give thanks for it? Let's look at a few things this morning. Proverbs 18 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Jesus is that ultimate friend who sticks closer than a brother. And what does that look like? Well, Matthew 28 tells us, Jesus said, gave what's known as the Great Commission, "Go out into all the world, make disciples, baptize in them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teach them everything I've commanded you." And he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He is a friend who remains present. He remains present for us. We've talked about being, you know, patiently present with our friends, not trying to fix them, but walking with them. But as fallible humans, there will be times when we fall short, when we've got to sleep ourselves, or we might have, you know, we got to go to work, we've got to travel, something comes up, and we can't always be there. Or just time takes us away over the years. But here's Jesus. No matter where you go, who is with you. No matter what you're suffering or enjoying, he is with you. He is consistently and constantly present with you and for you. And in Matthew 11, we read, "Come to me." This is Jesus speaking again. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So not only is he present, but he also has a remedy for your burdens. The burdens that we carry, the mental and emotional, spiritual burdens. And what is he specifically referring to? Well, in Matthew 23, Jesus teaches, says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do." Now that's interesting. He said, listen to the teaching, but don't follow their example. "For they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." And essentially said that they're saying, "He's heavy. He's not my brother. I'm not doing anything about that. What is this burden? It's the burden of trying to earn your way to God. The burden of following man-made traditions rather than life-giving truth. Where people say, this is what it means to follow God. And it's nothing in God's word. They've just kind of built little fences and added their own little things to help you follow God. But those things take on a life of their own. And over time, there is a weight there. It just weighs you down and makes following Jesus harder and harder and harder. But as our friend, Jesus offers us another way. Think about the difference between going to dinner with a prospective employer and old good friends. You go to the dinner, you know, this is a prospective employer, right? You're going to be on your best, as we say. You're going to put on your best. Are you relaxed? Now, there's probably some of you in here, I don't care, I'll do whatever I want. But most of us are like, we want to make a good impression. And so we're watching, you know, am I using the right forks? And I want to make sure I cover my mouth and I don't want to burp and I use a napkin and I don't want to dribble anything on me. Are you comfortable? If you're like me, you're not. If you can't relate to that, think about, you know, your very first date. And maybe you went on and you're like, trying to do it all right. But if you're with good friends, old friends, or your family, you can be yourself. You can relax. And I'm not saying you can be rude, but you can just be comfortable. What we're seeing here is that you can't relax if you have something to prove. But you can rest with Jesus because you don't have anything to prove and really anything you can prove to him. Look at this next passage. This is from Romans. This is Paul writing. He says, who then is the one who condemns? Say it with me. No one. Say it again. No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or dangerous sword? And the implication here is nothing can separate you from the love of God. So we're told, and this is echoes and kind of brings back from the very first verse of Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have a risen Savior. And look at what he's doing. He is at the right hand of God. And what's he doing? I can't believe it either. Can you believe what they're doing? I barely know them. You know, they're new. Now, what's he doing? He's interceding for us. What's he saying? This one is mine. This one is mine. And there is no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. In relationship with him. Our lives are hidden within his. His righteousness is what God sees. And so he just said, this is mine. This is mine. So there's nothing you have to prove. There's nothing to prove. Nothing to earn. It is all a gift. That's really hard for us to let go of because in every other area of life, we earn, we work, we prove. And this is the scandal of grace. Because it says it's a gift. You're not heavy. You're his brother. You're his sister. He's got you. But he does more than listen to us, we're being told here. He's interceding. He's working on our behalf. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. This is hard to sink in because many of us, you know, we've grown up telling ourselves a message, oh, I'm really not that great. Say it. He loves me. Say it to yourself. He loves me. Now, here's one. I want you to do this. I want you to put your first name. I know this is kind of awkward and weird, and you can do it barely under your breath, but I want you at least to be able to hear it. Say your name. And say he loves you. You know, Byron, he loves you. Say it. You do it now. He loves you. This is why we can give thanks. We have that kind of God. If you go and you look at the world's religions, that God is not out there. And if you look closely at what they teach, they're all about you proving, earning, working your way to whatever the end goal is. Even if it's reincarnation, you know, I don't want to come back as a grasshopper. I want to keep going up the scale. He loves us. And more than listen, though, he has something worthwhile to say to us. In Hebrews, we read, for the word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this may seem like, wait a minute, that seems to contradict what we just talked about. It doesn't. Because here's what we know. We know that humanity must give account. We all must give account. And there is nothing that you've got going on in your heart and in your mind that God does not see. But yet what? What did we just say to ourselves? He loves us. He loves us. But he also wants to transform us, to move us, to grow us. And so his truth is transforming. It transforms us. You see, we cannot transform, we cannot grow unless we can see ourselves as we are. Now, we may not like what we see at first. But he's got a truth for us to help us move forward. You see, his love, his truth spoken in love is there to transform us. Now the world will say, look, you just do you. You do you. Whatever you come up with, that's great. But that only goes so far, right? Because if you doing you means, you know, I'm a mass murderer, then that's now suddenly it doesn't work. Or if you doing you is lying or stealing or gossiping or whatever it might be, or just judging and critiquing everybody else, well, that's just me being me. We don't have much fun of a life, do we, around us? So he accepts us. He loves us. But he says, you know what? I'm going to help you grow. Now, do we have an analogy for that? Well, sure we do. You got kids? Grandkids? Great-grandkids? You ever say to them, listen, here's the deal. You're young, you got a lot of growing to do, but here's the deal. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to love you someday. But I'm going to need to see some proof. You're going to have to really work at it. You know, you're a little whiny right now. You're running around. You're doing all sorts of stuff. You're making more noise than I can handle. You know, whatever it might be. So, I'm going to love you after you get your act together. Let me see some grades. Diploma would be nice. If you can get a degree, woo! I'm going to want to see some W-2s eventually. And then I'll love you. Is that how it works? No. That little baby, you just look. I can't imagine when we're first born, you know, our first daughter. I just looked at her. I was like, how do I already love her? I don't even know her. And she's spitting up on me. And she's, what's the word I want to use? Saturating the diaper to overflow. And she's waking me up. But I love her. And bit by bit, and they'd go along and they do some things and you're like, I'm going to lose my mind here. But you love them. Now, because you love them, you say, listen, it's okay for you to throw fits anywhere and everywhere. You just do it. Just whatever you see and you want, you just yell out that you want it and you do that until you get it. Just go ahead, because I love you. Is that how it works? No, we say, no, I'm going to have to discipline you here. No, I've got to teach you the way. We're going to say please. We're going to say thank you. We're going to wait our turn. We're going to be patient. We're going to do all those things. What? Suddenly you're expecting things of them. Why? I thought you loved them. And asking and helping your children grow and mature and learn all those things, is any of that make your love conditional? No. In fact, because you love them, you want to help them grow. So can you see it? So God's love is already there for you. But when you spit up on him and you saturate your diaper to overflow, when you whine and you cry and you complain and you do things your own way and you want to break things, does his love go away? That's why we get to call him Father. It does not. There's not a disconnect here between transforming you and wanting to transform in you and loving you. But we always have this, that even when we're making messes, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You never have to worry about it. There's those moments, what do we say when a child will knock a drink over? You know, don't cry over spilt juice, milk, whatever it is. And you can do a couple of things. You go, I can't. And you get all. Funny how I know how that all looks and sounds, isn't it? Or you go, it's okay. We're going to clean this up. We're going to learn how to not do this going forward. But it might still happen. That's our God. Because he loves us. and he wants to transform us. But here's the great news, and it's right here. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now that suddenly sounds very conditional, doesn't it? But what he's saying, what's our command? What's that command? Love God, love people. Enter into that relationship with him. You are my friends. And he is the one who laid down his life for us. Why should we give thanks? Because his love redeems us. It redeems us. That word redeem, you know, we can kind of let it get lost in its full depth and meaning. But if you go to redeem something, you pay for it. I love this analogy. I've shared it with you before, but you've probably forgotten because I forget it from time to time. When I was a kid, we'd go and we'd get bottles. If we wanted our parents didn't just say, here's money willy-nilly. You know, this was the 70s. Inflation was going crazy like we'd never seen before. But anyway, and so if we wanted to get our own pop, as we called it, or soda, or whatever you want, we would go, and if you could get a six-pack, if you could find enough, you had enough to get your own, you get enough money back. It was like a nickel, I think. Now, think about that. What they do. Somebody would pay for that old, dirty pop bottle. Didn't matter what it was like. They find it. If it had the writing on there, how much you got that. You get paid for it. What'd they do? They take that, purify it, maybe even crush it down and rebuild it into something else. But they put it back into use. And that's what it means for you and I to be redeemed. He takes us. He's paid for it through his life on the cross. He purifies us. He might have to break us down and rebuild us back up. And then he puts us to use. Puts us into service. For his name's sake. So that we can go and be light. So we can go and be salt. So we can go and love our friends. And be friends for life. And be willing to say, my friend's not heavy. It's my brother. It's my sister. It's a privilege to help them in this moment. And we have in Jesus that kind of friend who looked at the shame of the cross and endured it with joy, the Bible says. Why? Because he knew what it would accomplish. This morning, some of you in here, this business of Jesus being our friend, I mean, just Savior, King, it's new. And maybe this morning, this is the morning you want to say, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to have my life hidden in him. I'm ready to let him be my Savior and my King. I'm ready to be buried in the waters of baptism, raised to a new life in Jesus. I'm ready for that. While we sing this song, if you want to make that known, come on forward. Or find us afterwards and say, I've got questions. I'm close. I've got questions. I need to tell you. I want to talk to somebody. But let me talk to some of you in here this morning. Like the functional side is there. You say, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, it's been hard for you to see him as your friend. Maybe you see him as a father, but he's kind of a dour, glowering father. But maybe this morning, you can see him differently. Maybe this morning, you can see him as a friend who doesn't think you're heavy. Who loves you and will carry you and walk with you and be present with you. Who has given you a truth to transform you and has given his life to redeem you. Maybe this morning you can begin to let that love, that grace seep in. And you can see yourself the way God sees you. Because if you could see yourself the way God sees you, the way Jesus sees you, so many burdens you're carrying would drop off your shoulders. Whatever decision, whatever you need to express to God, to receive from him, I want you to know you're in a safe place. And as we sing this song, whatever decision, whatever move, if you just want to come up here and you want to pray and you want to talk to God, whatever you want to do, just let this moment be a moment that you give to him to say, I'm here. I'm here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. And I thank you that we have a friend in Jesus who is not only present with us, but is present with you, interceding for us. And he's brought a truth for us that can transform us and grow us up. All because he has a love that would redeem us, that would make us new in your sight. Father, that can be hard to receive. It's just hard to believe sometimes. So help us in our unbelief. Speak to us now through your Spirit. Whatever it is we need to hear. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.